go from here every day in the morning and come back in the evening and so forth. It so happened that with one of the groups, it was 25th of February, and today is say 24th of February, and the next day is the 25th, his birthday. So they were all happy and so eager to be there on Baba's birthday. And naturally they expected Baba to be there on his birthday. So Pendu and Padri, who were in charge at the time there, so they requested Baba on 24th evening when he left the place, to Baba, please come a little bit early because people have come from long distances, they would like to have you here. So he says, don't I come early? He says, well, if you can come half an hour earlier, it would be better. Okay, it's all right. So now, this is 24th evening at Mehrazad. I have driven him back from Mehrabad and he is here. And all the time he is telling me, he's in the car, that keep the car ready, you know. We are going to go early in the morning tomorrow. I said, right, we'll go. So usually he would go from here, you see, at about 6:45 and be there by 7:15. But then that day, as Pendu and Padri have requested, you see, Baba wanted to go early and it's his pleasure. So we don't mind what time, Baba. He said, keep ready at 6:00. We'll go at 6:00. I said, very good, very well. So the day dawns. In the night, of course, as usual, as I told you, there will be all the time, you see, reminding this, remind me about it. Night passes by like that, you see, in vigils. On 25th early morning, at 5:30 he comes. It's his birthday, mind you, the birthday of the Lord himself. Well, we should give him rest on that day at least, physical rest. We should allow him to have his way at least. But he is wanted early by his lovers. So well, he is up and ready here at 5:30, you see, to leave at 6:00. But he comes here, you see, not a happy frame of mind, you know. And he says, I am wanted there as early as possible today, and just see that, you see, that I haven't passed the stool yet. You know, that was his habit. I'm just giving you an example from his own example. So I said, but there's still time, Baba. He says, no, but we have to leave at 6:00, it's 5:30. I said, it's still time, it's an early time. How can you expect the system to move, you see, earlier than it's habituated to move? You know how it is with our bowels. So well, we waited, his potty was brought again, he was made to sit, and he tried again. And his trying means before us all, you see, there's no closing of the doors, or he's going to a closet, or nothing of the sort. He sits on a potty here, and he talks and chats with us. It's like that. So, God's going to potty is something quite different than man's going to potty. So he's with us and he sits there and all that. And he's again sad because he cannot move his dog. And he would feel very comfortable if he had one moving, you see, evacuation. But nothing is going to happen. What is to be done? I said, Baba, don't feel about it. We had to feel ourselves as man amongst men. He says, this is... Well, it's all right. It doesn't matter if you don't pass a stool one day. What how? On my birthday, not to pass and feel uncomfortable. He would like that, you see. He was very anxious to pass a stool every day. Mind you, there's one thing, I don't know what it is in this. Must be every time, I think. But nobody revealed that to us, to mankind. Oh, the other places are there. Everywhere you can have a halt. Yes, it's all right. So, come on now, let's sit in the car, and we left. We left at all the places. I said, Baba, would you like to stop at Adi's place? No, he says, no urge yet. No urge. When we passed all the places where we could have stopped, you see, and then all of a sudden he says, I am getting the urge now on the way. I said, fast, drive fast. He says, drive fast. So I start driving faster and faster and faster after all the stops have been passed by, you see. So, with great anxiety that to reach Baba to his cabin where he can ease himself there. just before Mehrabad, arriving at Mehrabad, there is a culvert there, you see. I don't know whether you noticed. You know where Mehr Shah is? Mm-hmm. Soon after, mm-hmm. between Mehr Shah and Mehrabad, there is a culvert, you see. Mm-hmm. So right above the culvert, the crowds there. I didn't know what. All of a sudden it dawned upon me that it's Baba's birthday, naturally they have come to receive him. So my car had to be slowed down. I started honking from a long distance, you see. But then, when I went close, you see, they were there, you see, they stopped, you see, and they were very happy and gay and dancing and playing music and all that. And here all the time, Baba was feeling, you see, she drive fast, you see. So I used to drive fast, you know. And here there was a great reception on the day of his birth, you know. And Baba said, then I was very anxious, I used to shout out, said, make way, get out from there, clear the way. And Baba says, don't be there, don't be rude like that. I said, but you want to go? It's now minus their loss. After one day, after all, it's one day in their lifetime. It's like, he would come patiently like that, keep quiet. So I would just keep quiet, you see, and then go slow, honking, honking, honking. And they would dance and stop and dance and all that. And all the time, Baba wanted to ease himself. Never once he let out to them, you see, that he was very uncomfortable, but he was all smiles and happy. In their happiness, at the cost of his discomfort, he gave comfort to their hearts. And till such time, the whole procession led the car, you see, to his cabin. And no sooner we went to his cabin than I, of course, turned the car in such a way that he got out there, he eased himself there, and then came out. But all the distance, he allowed them to have their day. At great discomfort to him. That's how. Is it all right? Is it a fitting story for it?
Yes.
He never permitted me to allow them to know about it all. But they knew my nature. I was very rude to them. they knew that it's always Hera's fault.
But who was the root? It is one of your faults. You should be coming back there.
Right? Yeah, I know it's so gone. It's too late now. It's out of control. You know, if you see my pictures, the worried look, look of hatred with people. Get out from our way. It was all there because of him.
Oh, blame it on him.
Because of all the situations that were created over there. It's like that. There would be people, you see, in the love of Baba, they would throw all sorts of things on his face. I have to slap these people, it's like that. I won't slap you. You know, they would throw rice on him, and he would be looking at his, like his eyeballs. Going into his hair, you know. They would throw vermilion powder in, as a sort of a gesture of greeting. Hail to thee, the victor, and so on. They will break coconuts. If they were given chance, they will break coconuts on his head also. They are like that. They don't, love knows no order. It's like that. So therefore, there must be somebody.
He's burning candles.
You have witnessed all that. So much so that it was just there.
He was very sensitive.
Very sensitive. He wouldn't want, his body was so delicate. Very delicate body. Very delicate. Everything so sensitive, you suffer. The touch, everything sensitive. And they burn, and that too in a closeted room, you see, in such a room, you see, there would be 100 people sitting there, all wanting to be in, and they would just wave camphor and joss sticks and that smoke. Oh, and they would, because they were pressed, you see, the person who was there, he would go closer and closer to him. Do what? Burn him? Mm-hmm. No, it was just waving light, you see, burning their own impressions. What sort of an arti it is. But then they did it. It's because of love. There's a famous song, you see, from France. It's all because of love. All because of love. He suffered because of love. And we went closer and closer to him and fought our way to him and strived and struggled and had our prejudices and our biases. All because of love. We were not saints and pious and quiet people around him. We struggled, we fought, like any ordinary human being, but all because of love for him. It to be a terrible thing. And to keep his body and protect his body was no joke from all that multitude, the crowd. Steaming. See, sometimes in the summer months, it would be so much. Guru Prasad Hall would have beads, you see, of perspiration on the walls. We know it. When the crowd would leave in the evening, you find the whole wall, you see. It was a polished wall. By beads of perspiration on the wall, you see. Human breath, you see, has left all that. And what to tell you see, there have been situations like that. When a person in his eagerness to bring his wife close to Baba, or some, there was one major, you see. Some, you know that, you'll recall Francis, I don't know whether you remember that incident, at Guru Prasad, there was a crowd of people there. And there was one major, you see, who had renounced the world. His name was Major Rajgopal. And he donned the cloth, you see, Om, Sri Ram, and Ram, and all that, you see, all big letters and all that. He had brought his wife there for the first time. She didn't believe in Baba or anything, but he was eager to introduce Baba to her. Baba, here's my wife. But the crowd was so much pressing that day. There was no room for anybody to walk too close to Baba and all that. But he being a strong, very healthy and hefty person, you see. So now rather he wangled his way to Baba. And in trying, what he did was, he faced Baba with his fanny like that. So I was there, standing all the time, marking. We had to be like bodyguards standing there. At the same time, interpreter. At the same time, like lambs. But at lambs too, you see. So I was watching. Thus far and no more, I had made up my mind. So he came so close, he didn't know what was happening. He wanted his wife to come closer and closer to Baba. And he would go closer and closer to Baba, and Baba would just be there. So then one day, at a certain stage, upon the certain stage, I couldn't control myself. What I did was this. He fell right over the women. And he shouted like anything. He says, "Is this the way you should behave, you see, in presence of the Lord? Is this the way you have been taught to behave?" He shouted at me. He got up from there. He got himself out of the crowd, you see, and stood and faced Baba. "Look at this, Baba, how Aries has behaved. He pushed me there, right there. See this, what he has done." I said, "But Major, do you know what you were doing here? You don't, but you should have drawn my attention." I said, "I was telling you so often, but you were so absorbed in inviting your wife." Baba said, "Keep quiet to me," he says. "Keep quiet." I kept quiet. I bow down to him and beg his pardon. Yeah. So in the presence of all that, I fell at his feet. I said, "Sorry, I'm so, I was so rude. Please forget about it." Yeah. But he was so happy that in the presence of the crowd, Baba made me bow down to him. So he went to the shops there, I still remember. He went to the shops in Pune and says, "See how great Baba is." That he realized what had happened there and made his own disciples to bow down to me. And we felt proud about it. But he felt proud about it in a different way. We felt proud that he expressed the greatness of Baba there, you see. But his pride was because somebody bowed down to him. So such were the situations that we faced this time. And Baba would suffer all this, a discomfort. It was but natural with Baba. But we had to also push and hit and do this. We were not gentle, I should say. I must confess that we were rather rough and people. But we had to protect his body.
So he's now meandered to him, but there has been tens of thousands of people came.
Yeah.
You had to throw a mandolin cordon around Baba.
Yeah.
And actually fight the crowd.
You remember that?
Yes, even, clearly.
Yeah, there was a person who is dead now. He boarded up his loins, you see. And he says, "Come on, who wants to fight out now with me? You want to press here like that, you see." And he started facing the crowd and he shouted, says, "You want to press over us here, you see. Come on, I'm ready now." He collected his dhoti and all that and girded his loins and says, "Come on now, I'm ready to fight. Who wants to come out?" Such situations were created like that.
Wow.
That's right, Father. We had formed a cordon. Baba used to have 75 of his men around him to keep watch. We never had cordons of ropes and police sticks and police bands, just hands like that, to protect him. And always we sought a proper corner so that we can escape, you see, we can take Baba away and all that. That day, it was all surrounded from all sides. See, eventually we had to make Baba sit on the bonnet of the car, and then on the bonnet, then he went and sat on the roof of the car, and all sorts of things happened. Then he stood up there, you see, because of the milling crowd there. Hollywood situation sometimes is very frightening. Very, very frightening. But nothing happened.
The crowds are always frightening.
Yes, very frightening.
They can turn on this
way. Yeah, this way or that way. Who knows? And such statements like that, you see, I have come to abolish all rites and rituals from the. You see, and in an Orthodox city, you see, like that, where all the Brahmins are there, you see, they would have just, would have been an uproarious meeting, you see. Rats would have been created there. Nothing happened. They were meek as lambs. He would proclaim himself as the ancient one. Just failed him.
You know, when you said it was frightening, did you ever?
It was a frightening feeling. One day, I still remember, Baba pulled my coat. And said, "Are you frightened? Don't be frightened. Don't be frightened." You see, the thing is that the positions that we were placed was, you all cannot realize it now. Suppose if you had the responsibility to protect his body, anybody's body, suppose Francis's body, or her body now, she is the one. You are taking her in a crowd of 100,000 people. She's surrounded by people. What will you do now? People will not see that she is a lady, she needs comfort, she needs some room to walk about or do something or to breathe or anything. They will just crowd and throng around. And the trouble with the political leaders and the heads of the states, you see, they are on a rostrum. They are there, you see, they blare out, you see, through their public address system, the speeches and all that. Here, this is not the case. Just the contrary. They don't want to hear him anything. They want to come and touch him. Each one wants to be with him. How is it possible? And each one has a longing, a desire to come and be with him. At least to hold on, just to touch his garment or to touch his toe or something like that. Each one. It's not that they feel satisfied, you see, from a distance to hear a thundering speech like that. Nothing, there was no such thing as that. Or it was not a drama or anything of the sort to see there. Or an act of miracle, you see, that 1,000 blind mice are given sight there.
But, you know, was there ever times when you actually feared for Baba's safety or what is going to happen
every time
the statements Baba's making or his avatar and things like that?
About the statement, only once I had that very frightening experience. But fear to protect his body was constant there. Why? Even on the station platforms we had that fear. At the time when we used to take him and travel in the compartments that were jam-packed, you see, Baba so often had to be pushed inside through a window. You know? We have lifted his body and pushed him. There would be other mandali inside to receive him and the other to lift him and put him there and all that. All that goes on like an ordinary person. He did live exactly as he has said, as man amongst men, you see. He never expressed to humanity that, well, I am God in human form, allow me some room, you see. Or I must have an exclusive compartment to myself, just as you have the political leaders or the heads of certain departments and all that. They have the facilities to travel and all that. He being the Lord, he was man amongst men. He proved true to that. He was, and he did. He did live like that. His life was like that. Yeah, he was there. Oh, a lot of hustle, terrible. That one statement was only there that was frightening, that was at Vijayawada. Nowhere else that I felt frightened, you see, about his proclamation, except that time. He said, I am the one who has come in your midst, you see. Just do away with all the rites, rituals and ceremonies of all the religions. I just blurted out his gestures, you see, with emphasis, according to the emphasis that he gave on his physical frame. But then no sooner they were given out, I was terrified. You see, so what will be the reaction now of the whole thousands of people around who were Orthodox, who were steeped into this rites, rituals and ceremonies. Baba pulled my coat and made me steady. Don't feel frightened, keep quiet. He did that. He went out of his way. He knelt over and caught hold of my coat, you see, and pulled me like that. Once in a while it happened.
But never were you feared, like, you know, with Jesus, all those people came and arrested him, tried him, all that sort of business.
No, that, yeah, there were certain times, you see, when we went to, in Gujarat, there was once.
I was wondering, just whether in your mind you could imagine, well, what is Baba going to, he going to plan this
happen? So it so happened in Gujarat once when we went there. There were some people, you see. There is one person who had, it continued all throughout his life like that. Who had to play that role where he would continuously, not continually, continuously, he lived to denounce Mahabab. I should say that, in short. He found out ways and means. He would follow Baba to, from one place to another. He would go in advance there and give public lectures there, you see, to denounce him. He would incite the feelings of the students. He would do this and he would do that. So once, I still remember it was in Gujarat when we went there, at Hoshang Bharucha's place. His place, it was Navsari there. And there he incited the students. He couldn't incite the public there or anything of the sort. So he not incited them, I should say, to be very fair to the students too. They were bribed. They sit on the walls, you see, and shout out slogans that may we see his death, may we see his death. Called Avtar Meher Baba Murdabad, Avtar Meher Baba Murdabad, like that, you see. Mm-hmm. And they started hurling stones and all that in the house where we were there, you see. And that was once, just a little flavor of that we had there. Nowhere else.
You didn't bother to talk about someone stabbing you in his back?
Yes. Yeah, but then, but these are his statements, you see. Yeah. We were all the time watchful about it. We were alert about it, especially alert when he was giving public darshan like that, you see. Yeah. Suppose if somebody wants to hurl a stone at him, what can we do? So all the time we had to be very alert. And the role we had to play, you see, was apart from protecting his physical frame, we had to also interpret what he said, and the simultaneously it was all that. So it was a terrible tension to the person who was there, who were around him.
You haven't mentioned that. So this was all in the midst of civil war.
Ah, yes.
Things in the
Muslims, riots.
Hundreds of thousands of them killed.
Yeah. At the time, you see, when we were traveling and all that, it was in the midst of a sort of a civil war, you see, a communal war that was taking place. When India was partitioned, you see, the subcontinent was partitioned, you see, into India and Pakistan.
That was in the early 50s?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Late '40s and early '50s.
Late '40s.
Yeah, late '40s.
What was that?
On the first day, you see, they say it's Mehbala Mustafa. But the next day, it was such a grand program. That all the lights of the Surat.
They all had come there.
The students
and the gentry and all that became next day. It was so pleasing, you see. That atmosphere, it seemed as if the clouds were blown. And there was full sunshine there to receive him. The whole city was there to receive him. Mm. So we passed through many such days. You see. Anxious days were there for his body. But then, this was life with him. Yeah, it was life. Many fights in the train on compartments with the co-passengers and would subside and it would become friendly just to have a seat, you see. Mm-hmm. Many things happen. Travel. Mm-hmm. Most important is to keep him incognito. That's the worst thing. Had he been kept open, you see, and people were made aware that he is the one, it would have been very easy. But we had to also safeguard, you see, to keep him veiled all the time. Mm-hmm. And he was in the midst of activity, and yet to veil him all the time. That's also another thing. People would recognize, and they'll say, is he Meher Baba? Now, on the spur of the moment, what would you say? Baba wanted us to keep quiet. So what we would do? What did you say, please? Is he Meher Baba? We couldn't say the lies. We couldn't tell lies. He said, what did he say? Is he Meher Baba? What? Meher? Meher Baba? He himself could go away. They are ignorant about him. So he must be thinking that he has made a mistake. Although he has not made a mistake. But we have to pretend to be that. We couldn't say that he is not. It would be a lie. on the spur of the moment, we now feel ourselves how shrewd and clever we had become at the time in his presence. Because there was no premeditated action or act. There was nothing that he had trained us to be that. No. It was a spontaneous thing to protect his being, to carry out his wish, to make him feel happy about the whole thing. It was all that gave out that. It was just a reflex action, that's all. Born out of that feeling. So we wonder now we have been wondering as to what have we have done, you see, how wily we were, you see, how tricky we were, and all that. But really speaking, in our heart of hearts, we are not that. But it was there, it's but natural to protect him.
You're serving a tricky master.
Ah, yes.
That's where your trickiness came from.
Right, right. Once, another story about his great discomfort. And yet, we were traveling in a couple, we were on a tour, and there were Baba followers, you see, of good standing, people like commissioners and governors of the places, you see. They were there too. They were. All were not illiterate around him, all were not bums, you see, from the street. Like us, there were some people of good standing. So there was one by name Kerawala, Jal Kerawala. He was the commissioner of 5 divisions. 5. It was an exception. He was an exceptionally bright person. So once we went to his place, in the midst of all this chaos and confusion, you see, that was in India at the time. And we were very happy that at least for some nights we will be relaxed. You see, we were in the midst of, you have no idea, corpses would be lying on both sides of the rail tracks, and special trains would be carrying only corpses up and down, trying to distribute them out. Such was the situation, and that's the time when he traveled the most. So it was a great relief that at least we are now in a protected area, in the house of this great person.
Who was Jal?
Jal Kerawala was at Raipur, I think.
Raipur.
So then what happened was, well, we had good 2 days and nights, you see, and it was a very happy thing, and Jal Kerala spread a feast and in honor of Baba. And people were there, and Baba was relaxed, and we had good long drives and all that sort of thing, you know. The day came for the departure. Again, the fright, you know. I don't know whether you know what fright is really here inside, near the solar plexus, you know. Have you ever felt such thing? Mm-hmm. I don't know whether you all have that. But then there are drugs now to cure that fright. They say so. But there were no drugs at that time, you see. We had to carry the fright all along with us. We have crystallized that fright, you see, into non-fright then afterwards. So that, no sooner we'll be coming on the platform where they will get room with all our luggage there. How will we take Baba inside? Whether Baba will have to be lifted bodily? Who will be inside there, you see? And all the thoughts will be there. And just at the time when the engine would come steaming right, we would not know where we are. We'll have to run again to the third class compartment, find the places, you see, and be with Baba. The trains would stop at only for 5-10 minutes, you see. So all that would be there all the time. But that day, pleasant and happy. We had nothing to worry. We were the masters of the whole station. The station master saluted, the police chief saluted, this saluted, that saluted, all that. So the train arrived. All the police force rushed inside. Come on, get out of the compartment. Get out of the compartment. This is all reserved compartment. Get out! Get out! We just kept quiet. We stood there. And Baba stood there. And the whole compartment was made vacant. And then Jal Kerala said, Baba, get inside. I'll explore you. So Baba was happy. It was very good and all that. And embraced and everything. Perfect. We were very happy that at least this time we'll be having a good journey now. You know, what happened was, so we went, we had the whole compartment to ourselves, so we spread out and slept. Baba says, come on now, enjoy this. See, so each one spread out, you see, you know, those long seats there, and we see third class compartment after. After one or two junctions that had passed by, military people went, the ordinary people were thrown out at the station by the police people. It was war time. Military people rushed in. They didn't care for the passenger or anything, so they rushed in. However much we try to tell them that, well, this is a reserved compartment, that we have been given this compartment at this junction, nothing of the sort. They won't listen to us. They are like bulls. Well, they get it. Baba said, keep quiet, keep quiet. It's all right, allow them to. Then what happened is that now the story starts. So one military personnel with his boots and all that, Indian mind, he comes and these are Baba's feet here. Baba is sleeping here on this long seat there. This fellow comes and sleeps here with his feet, you know, with the boots on, and his are his tender feet without anything, without socks or anything. So he puts his, he just goes on hitting his feet, you see. And he sleeps there, sprawls there, you see, like a lord. Because they are the persons who protect the country, so they think that they are doing great service like that. So he's there. So he's all the time hitting. So I was sitting there, you see. I was sleeping there by Baba's next bench. So I got up from there, I said, what are you doing? I just took his two feet, legs out, threw them down there, you see. So he got wild and he started shouting at me. And then I started shouting. I said, is this the way to do? You should protect the people, protect the subjects, protect your brethren like that. What is this? Why do you hit him? Why do you kick him like that? She says, but why does he sleep like that? We are so tired and we need rest. Why do you all sleep? So do you think that, do you know how much we have labored? We need more rest than you need, we said. And you know how the whole thing goes on and on and on. Eventually what happened is that Baba continued to keep his feet, he withdrew his legs. You see? You know how he withdrew his legs, bent his knees and his legs. That fellow, instead of, because he was hurt now, his pride was hurt by me. So instead of keeping quiet, he shoved himself in. And again he jammed Baba all the time, you see, like that. So till, and then I shouted at him again, and there would have been hand-to-hand fight, you see. And I had that. It was a practice with me, you see. So often it would be so. So then Baba said, keep quiet now. If you say a word more, he tells me, he comes and sits quiet. If you say a word more, I'll pull the chain and get out all by myself. He tells me. So I said, all right, I keep quiet. And this fellow plays his sticks. He goes on jamming around all the time. Wreaks his vengeance on Baba the Lamb, you see, so to say.
He said Baba sat?
Baba then sat there. And he then puts his feet like that, you see. He takes delight in touching Baba with his feet, like with his boots. Military boots are there. So you can imagine how very much hurt we were with this incident. We thought that we were very happy in the compartment, you know that. See how it is balanced, counterbalanced and balanced. So you can well imagine by the reaction of a ticket collector when he entered the compartment. We were quiet. Baba ordered us not to speak a word more. If he ever spoke anything, you get out, pull the chain and walk out, all by himself, he said. So we kept quiet. We watched that man, watched others and all that. So a ticket collector comes, you see, at some station. Any ticket. Of course, these people had all the warrants, you know, they are the warrants, war time warrants. So they asked us, where are the tickets? So I just took out all the tickets and gave them. He checked how many. So he stops and looks at us. What is it? Is there a tragedy in your house? Anybody dead in your house? We never spoke. Is there anything serious? You seem to be so pained. So that shows to what degree he would take us, you see, like that. It's the contrast, you see. We were the masters, we were the ones, you see, who enter the compartment as if it belonged to us, the train belonged to us. This is how we were treated. These are the different facets, you see, of our travels, of our comforts, of our discomforts. What time do you want? Who is going to sing tomorrow? What? Say. Oh. For our others. Where are the others?
Yes, where are the others?
That's right.
Turn up the others.
Story of the tricycle. I was not yet four, not quite 4 years old. And I remember that what I'm going to relate now happened in Manzilamim in Bombay. And Baba and his Mandali were in Manzilamim. So I was there, Mother had taken me there, we were all there. And I know that when I was at home, Baba used to sometimes send Adi, my brother, and myself toys with Jal. Jal was with Baba in Manzilamim. So anyway, here it was. I was in Manzilamim, and I remember sitting on Baba's lap and Baba playing with me, caressing me, and then being a woman even at 3 and a half, I said to Baba, I said, it's my birthday, you know. Next month is my birthday. And Baba said, your birthday? Oh, that's wonderful. Now, what is it you want? What shall I send you now? Just tell me anything you want. And you see, I'd seen in our alley these children. It was newly come out. Riding the tricycle. Going about on a tricycle. And all the other neighbor's children wanting to have a minute on it and fighting over it. And how I wished I had a tricycle. So I said to Baba, sitting there on his lap and saying, well, I said, I'd like a tricycle. Tricycle? Is that all? Done. You'll get a tricycle. But then I said, no, I'm sure you'll forget. I'm sure you'll forget to send the tricycle to me. I wanted to be quite sure. I wanted to buy him, you know, so much.
Yeah.
And Baba said, of course I won't forget. Of course I won't forget. You'll get the tricycle. No, no, I'm sure you'll forget. And Baba said, how can I forget? I love you. So how can I forget that it's your birthday? But as children, but then supposing you do forget, I want something more than just a word. So we have, in the Indian, you swear by something as a promise, as a pledge. This, you can't get out of that. You swear by something precious to you. Like you swear by your beard, or you swear by your child, or you swear by your eyes, you swear by your mother. You know, something very precious to you. So Baba says, I swear I won't forget. I swear by a hen. And he, when you say swear, you say kasam, kasam thi, magina kasam. You say, I won't forget. You catch the skin of your neck like this, you know. And you say, I swear, you say, I won't forget. So Baba said, I swear by a hen, I won't forget. He sent me the tricycle. Well, that was real binding. I mean, I knew that had to be. After you said kasam, you just have to do it. You can't get out of it. So I was satisfied. Then the next thing I remember is that I was home. It was just a few days before my birthday. And every day I would tell myself, does Baba remember? Has Baba forgotten? Will Baba send me the tricycle? Or has he forgotten? No, he said he loves me and he can't forget. So it's all right. Anytime there was a knock at the door, anytime somebody would come, I would think, ah, here's Baba sent the tricycle. Well, no tricycle arrived. No tricycle. Day after day went by and came my birthday. It was my fourth birthday. I still remember how miserable I was. Although they put on this nice lace dress for me. And in the Zoroastrians, up to the age of 7, they really celebrate your birthday, the parents do. After that, no. But then they put a little dais with chalk patterns on it, and they put the red kumkum on your forehead, and they give you rice and coconut, and they give you money, which they take away incidentally, and put it in the bank for you. And a few annas in your hand for something to buy. All this is done, but all the time I was, Baba doesn't love me. He forgot. He forgot my birthday because he didn't send the tricycle.
Did you call him Baba then, or marijuana?
No, Baba.
How old was Baba at that time?
Baba was in Manzilamim, 1922. You see, I was born in 1918, December. So,
1922.
Baba was not on silence. Baba was in Manzilamim. So, the day went by. All I remember is the misery of it. And then, the next thing I remember is, again, I was with Baba in Mehrabad. And mother, we got down from the station, we got in the tanga, we went to Mehrabad, and there again we were with Baba. And again there I was in Baba's lap, and Baba cuddling me and going to play with me. And then he said, but I wasn't having any. Baba could feel I was a bit cold and sort of, you know, sullen looking. And Baba said, what's the matter? Why are you looking like that? No reply. Baba said, is it so-and-so? Is it mother? If it's mother, I'll show it. Is it mother? And I shook my head. Is it so-and-so? I shook my head. Is it that one? I shook my head. Then who is it, said Baba? And I turned around and I pointed to him and I said, you! Baba said, me? Looking so completely innocent. And me, said Baba. I said, you. And then by that time I blotted everything out. You don't love me because you didn't remember me. And you didn't, you know, didn't send me the tricycle. You said you'd send me the tricycle on my birthday and you didn't. And I knew you'd forget. But you said you loved me and you wouldn't forget. But you don't love me. You don't love me. And Baba was so, you know, puzzled and innocent, and he said, and then I gave him the clue, and I said, you even swore by hen. I mean, that was the worst thing you could have done, swear by hen and not do it. You even swore by hen that you wouldn't forget. You'd send me the tricycle. Immediately, Baba's face cleared, and he looked so, he said, what can I do? He said, it wasn't my fault. What can I know? I remember. I know very well. I swore by hen. But what can I do? The hen died. That was such a perfect satisfaction to me as a child. Oh, it wasn't Baba's fault. Baba didn't forget. Baba loves me. It's, he swore by a hen, and that wretched hen goes up and dies. And you know, I never had the tricycle. I never wanted it. I have it up to this day, and I have the tricycle. But it didn't. It wasn't important anymore. It wasn't important. I didn't even wish for it or long for it, even when I saw the children playing on the tricycle. The tricycle, all of a sudden, was of no consequence. But something else was established that Baba hadn't forgotten. Baba loves.
Tell the salt shaker.
Huh?
The salt cellar.
You see, when I used to spend all my holidays with Baba, my school holidays. I was schooling in Pune at the convent of Jesus and Mary, same school, incidentally, where Mara had been educated before me. And so we would have long holidays in summer and winter. And I would wait for my holidays because it meant, you know, going to Baba and spending my holidays wherever he was. And so when I was with Baba, it was heaven. But as the time came nearer for me to go back to school, back home, I you know, it was opposite of heaven, whatever that's called. So the moment when I was going back, my poor mother, when she was in the train, we were in the train going back to Pune. There the compartment would be full of other passengers, and I would be crying and crying and crying, the tears just rolling down my cheeks. Big, big tears, as mother would say. And one day, once it so happened that my poor mother said to me in the Irani vernacular, she said, look, Mani, they're not looking at you. All these people are looking at me. They think I've been, I'm your stepmother, or maybe your mother-in-law or something. And that made me conscious of all the people around, and I looked up and around, and they were all glaring at mother. What's she doing to that sweet thing? After that, I was... But the moment I get home, I had a little battered tin bag that I'd inherited from somewhere, and that to me was my very own. And the moment I would get home, I would immediately start planning what to get to buy for Baba, for Mara, for Naja, for Koshit. So these little things that I could buy with my own pocket money, collect my pocket, and get these things, and I'd put them in this bag. So when I'd get home and I'd put this in, I'd tell Mother, now you don't touch this bag of mine. You know, I'll dust it. You just don't do anything. And she said, I wouldn't touch a battered old thing with a pole. And I said, never mind, it's mine. And every evening when I would come from school, I'd open the bag and see if everything was all right, all the things I'd put in. Every time when I'd leave home for school, I'd open the little tin things, everything was in order. So then Then we begin now. What shall I get for Baba? What shall I? So I got something for Mera and I got something for Naja. And then I said, but what shall I get for Baba? What will he like? So one day, as I was going to school, I saw a man pushing a hand cart, selling all kinds of things in glazed pottery. And that was a new thing then. And there were beautiful things, dolls and all sorts of things. And I stood beside the hand cart and I looked at the things. And suddenly in it I saw a pair of ducks in that lace pottery. Beautiful little things. Their wings were almost like gold. Their yellow was like a gold. And that holes in the head for salt and pepper, you know. And there they were, these two things. And I said, oh, that's for Baba. Oh, Baba, you know, that's just the right thing I can get for Baba. So I asked the price, and I was just short of one price. And I told him, please, please, you know, I must have this pair of ducks, but it's just one price. Let that one price go. Or sometime, if I see you in future, I give you one price. Anyway, I remember I did a lot of pleading with him, and he said, all right. You know, he let go that one price, and he gave me this pair of ducks. I went straight back home. Mother said, what are you doing? Your time was, why did you return? Aren't you well? I said, it's all right, just 1 minute. I put that in the tin box and then ran all the way to school to make up the time. Then when the time came for me to come to Baba on the next holiday, I had these toys with me, all these little things to give. And when I presented Baba with this pair of ducks, salt and pepper, sela, you would have thought when Baba held them in his hands, you would have thought that that's just the thing Baba had been waiting for all these years. He had everything else, yes, he had the universe and all that sort of thing. But this. And I, you know, because Baba would see the love, whatever it was. I mean, you really felt, oh, I'm so happy I got this. Baba really wanted so much this pair of ducks. Baba called the women or sent a message and said, every day when my lunch is sent in the tray, this salt and sela must be there every time, you see, for Pani. And I, oh, it, you know how, what I'm saying is, from, and I've seen that happen again and again, this incident that I'm telling you all about Baba accepting something in love, we have seen it again and again. We have seen somebody do a little thing for Baba, and Baba making so big out of it. You know, oh, look what she's done for me. Look, isn't that? And we have sat and listened in amazement and witnessed it in amazement, knowing that that very person whom Baba was praising for having done something for him, how much Baba had done for that person, even on the material sense, even in the sense of things that we could see with our eyes, and yet there was Baba that was praising. And so you see, a giving and allowing, Baba's allowing us to be giving. Baba is like a bowl that is brimful. And so even a little drop of ours that we put in, it overflows, and therefore it's visible. But ourselves is like a hole. And no matter how much you put in for yourself, for Maya, you'll never catch sight of it. That full hole will never fill up, and you'll never know. You'll just go on putting in. But you're doing it for Baba, giving it up for him, giving it to for him. And it's like a drop, because it's already full. So then it overflows. And that's the real receiving. That's the receiving. So with the hen and the duck, any more animals to raise? She got this beautiful black Italian lace, and she just tied it here. And Baba came as Moses, with such a twinkle in his eye. You, buddy, a great gun. That minor story some other time. I mean, it's another story. Little charade is like for guessing titles of books and things. Mm-hmm. Another school holiday. And Baba was in